Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is really going to be a dynamic hour. We have on the line with us Dr. Robin Kelly, who is in New Zealand. We're speaking to him there, and we're going to be talking about a very special subject matter that I think is really going to mean a lot to a lot of you. It's talking about the human antenna reading the language of the universe in the songs of ourselves. Dr. Kelly, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Donna. Hope you can hear me all the way from New Zealand.
Yes, I can hear you beautifully. I hope you can hear me fine.
Yeah, a little bit faint, but I can hear you, okay?
All right, fine. Well, maybe Don will be able to turn up the volume so that you can hear a little bit.
Oh, that'd be brilliant. Thank you so much. Thank you.
You are a physician who is very much involved with acupuncture, energy psychology, and you have found that your life has followed a patterning as a physician that not a lot of people would want to journey, but I think that this is something that many other physicians and people in the medical industry are going to become more involved with. Your book is about so many wonderful things. Tell us what it was that made you decide to shift. How in the world did you end up in New Zealand, by the way?
Well, I was trained in London, and we came out to New Zealand and found I was involved in hospital work then. I was a pediatric doctor, and we came out to New Zealand and really just loved it. My wife and myself, we loved it. We bought a home here, and we settled here, and I went into my family practice, so that's how we found ourselves here, because it was great. One of the things that doctors were allowed to do, we're talking over 25 years ago now, they were allowed to spend longer with their patients. Like each consultation was a quarter of an hour, which doesn't sound much, but in England, the doctors were, and still are anyways, just spending 5 minutes with their patients.
Five.
And as the first port of call, of course, this not wonderful. So ultimately, I became very quickly interested in what I could do very effectively in a quarter of an hour, and I started to use acupuncture in 1981 on people, and became very, very impressed with what was happening to them. They seemed to be feeling better, sleeping better, and things I didn't even know I was treating seemed to improve. So I started to study Chinese medicine in those in the 80s, along with two or three colleagues. And I became very fascinated by their take on health, and found it was going into depths of health and ill health and wellness that I hadn't encountered before. So it was, as you say, fairly life-changing.
You make a statement in your book about physicians saying that doctors practice within a state of fear. And
yeah.
I thought that was quite an interesting comment for you to make. Could you explain that to my audience?
Yeah. Well, I think that's the case. I think in many ways we're there trying, and it's terribly important, of course, that we pick up serious conditions, that we don't miss, say somebody comes in with persistent headaches, that we don't miss that this could be a brain tumor or whatever. So a doctor is pretty well constantly thinking of the worst case scenario. And it's a real burden for a doctor as well. I mean, ultimately it's our job, but it's something that is hugely important. Primarily we are diagnosticians. We're people who make the diagnosis or whatever. But it has got to a point that we're probably, we can be said to be practicing defensive medicine as well. So not only do we not want that person to have a condition that progresses into something that's pretty awful. But we don't want to be in a position of missing it, and our own practices and life and family suffer as well. You know, the pressures are huge. And I think even if I had that feeling in the early 80s, I would say, you know, in the present day, there's even more pressure for a doctor to practice in some ways defensive medicine. And just for example, if somebody does go to a specialist or a GP and they find through the test that they have their cancer, the first word they often say is, "Look, I'm afraid I've got bad news." You know,
mm-hmm.
So that word, "I'm afraid," I know it's a slip of the tongue, maybe a Freudian slip, but in many ways, it's true. And that's how people are introduced often to their condition, by a doctor saying, and probably feeling, saying it with all the right intent, but ultimately the person says, "Look, somebody says to you, 'I'm afraid I have bad news.'" You know, that sets the scene for what should be a healing process, but it can be in some ways quite negative for the person. So we do practice in that state, and I suppose in many ways I'm trying to sort of help reverse that to a certain extent, so that we can have health and happiness. As we should dial that into our consultations as well. We mustn't be flippant, of course, if somebody has a very serious illness. But the same instance, we have to be warm and probably lighter and less heavy and less grey than possibly we've been trained to be.
You have some fabulous stories about people who experienced life's lessons with. One of them was Archie, who I thought was just a very special man. But you also, on a personal level, went through a diagnostic situation of your own that was quite serious. Tell us what happened with you, because this is all part of what your book, The Human Antenna, is about, because all of these experiences led you to where you are today.
Yes, it's so interesting because, and distressing for me, by the way, in the 80s, sort of paralleling my, I suppose, deeper understanding of these philosophies and understanding of energy medicine and the link between mind, body, and spirit and all the things that the Chinese philosophy and the Ayurvedic philosophies and the Eastern philosophies seem to be teaching me. Paralleling this, I was going through my own personal battle of extreme fatigue, what would be called chronic fatigue syndrome now, or ME, together with quite a lot of pain, muscle pain, known now as fibromyalgia. And it seemed to parallel my awareness, the sort of, as the my doors of awareness became opened, I had this other thing that was happening. Now, some of it I could put down to trying to fit in all this deeper understanding into a system that didn't quite take it. In other words, I was trying to cover in quarter of an hour and 20 minutes areas that really I needed to spend a whole day with people, you know, linking their emotions to their conditions, going back into their childhood, all sorts of sort of deeper areas that people began to open up with, especially when one's doing this energy work like acupuncture. People do open up, you spend time. So I suspect I was getting overloaded, and I was trying to do all my Western medical practice as well, and it didn't quite fit. But there was more to it than that. I have noticed over the last 30 years or so that people who are going through such conditions, illnesses, chronic illnesses, also may well have a parallel opening of their awareness to other dimensions as well. And this is very much the sort of silver lining on the cloud. And in many ways, the people who are suffering from these conditions, I call, we're fairly skinless. In other words, we seem to absorb the energies around us very easily, the good energies, the bad energies, the toxins, whatever. And the road to recovery, if I can give hint to some listeners, is really to not change that part of themselves that's sensitive, but actually open themselves up to the goodies in life, you know. So the very people who are suffering from this overload on their immune system, from the negative aspects of this life, or also open to the beauty as well. So, you know, actually going into nature and relaxing in with nature, it seems it's very much the solution to this difficult issue. But what this very difficult time for me, and it went on for several years, has taught me has been very valuable. And I've been able to sort of help people when they come to me in these situations, because they'll say, look, I've seen a lot of people with this, but more important than that, I've sort of been there, and I have been able to climb out of that difficult situation as well, and reassure them that there were good times ahead.
Yes. Now, being in acupuncture, you had a real cute story in your book about a woman who was a client of yours, and eventually you decided you were going to leave the medical practice that you had, in as it was requiring you to not spend time with patients. And I believe it was at that time you and your wife, who was a nurse, decided that you were going to have a different way of doing medicine. And so that's when you moved to where? Auckland? Is that where you were?
Yeah, well, we were already in Auckland, but what I decided is that I would work from my home, and there were financial reasons for that as well, because I wanted to reduce overheads. Because, to be honest, if you extend your consultation time to half an hour, you know, you've got to keep the price down for people, so you can't afford to employ so many other people around you. So we said, look, why don't we simplify things and create a haven in our home that people can come in. My wife's a nurse, so it was just myself and my wife. And we create an environment where we can just focus on the people, you know, rather than, unfortunately, in medicine now, and I do this one or two sessions a week of general practice, but, you know, one has the computer in front of you, and one's typing away, and the heart-to-heart contact with that other person has become diminished, and it's still no more than 5 minutes. So I realized that we had to create an environment where people did not feel rushed, but felt that they could come in and open up in a state of complete security. So, you know, the people that come into the home, we're sort of attached to our home, have a feeling they're coming into a house. They're being hosted and feeling secure and looked after. And I think that nurturing environment is hugely important, because people then open up, have the confidence to open up, and we're able to explore areas. In fact, jointly go into areas that allow our intuition, you know, I talk about the human antenna, that in fact that person becomes receptive to ideas and linking things within their health that become, that they haven't had the environment to do that in before. And one needs a lot of patience for that. That's why we call people patients. We need to have more patience.
Your story about acupuncture, about this one lady who was the wife of a very stressed businessman. He had come to you, had an acupuncture treatment, and he had gone home and she found a needle sticking out of the top of
that one.
I love that story. You've got to tell the rest of the story.
I've got to tell this story, yeah. You know, everybody who does acupuncture, you know, I just reassure everybody, the acupuncturist will occasionally leave a needle in you, and particularly the one that you'll leave... we'll leave in will be one right at the top of the head, which is the ear, what they call the antenna, you know, which is the great one. It goes right into the top of the head or whatever. And it's a wonderful point. It's something that helps relax us particularly. And if I don't have a good night's sleep, I sometimes put one in myself and have a lovely night's sleep. Anyway, so this gentleman, of course, was a rather tense businessman, and I, amongst other things, we talked to him, and I left one in. And, of course, he had a head of hair on him. It's much easier if you're bald, I find them. And he went home, and he had this one stuck right in his head, and it was wonderful. And then his wife, I think, was patting him gently on his head at 3 o'clock in the morning and found this needle sticking out and started to become very distressed and phoned me, okay? And I said, well, look, has he been calm? He said, he's been wonderful. He did the washing up. He did the dishes. He's never been nice. I've never seen anybody nicer than my husband. I said, oh, that's good, okay. So anyway, she took it out, and in the morning it was as grumpy as usual, and she phoned me up. She said, I'd like to put it back in, please.
I thought that
So there you go. I actually use this point to help me putt when I'm playing golf, you know, and I put it under my hat, and at the end of my round I take this, my hat off, and my partners, if I've beaten them, of course, get very concerned and call foul.
Well, all of that is
nature, but
yes, and it's...
I don't know if Tiger Woods uses it. He maybe does.
Well, let's get into some facts about the cells. I mean, you really have done a lot of study and a lot of research on DNA and working with energy. Let's address a little bit of that, because there is so much going on in the body that we are finally, in the Western world, rediscovering from some old areas of wisdom. What have you, as a physician, found valuable?
Well, yeah. It's so interesting. And I mean, a lot of this is, I'm quite a pictorial person. I love pictures. And in many ways, symbols and pictures tell us so much more than just words. One of the symbols for the medical profession you probably know is the caduceus, which is a staff, which could be interpreted as a staff of Hermes with one or two serpents wrapped around it. You probably know that. You know, the medical profession love this as well.
Oh, yeah. It's done everything.
And I was looking at this one day, and I was sort of studying DNA as well, and I looked at the two, and I said, you know, this is the same shape. You know, the DNA is the same shape. At the same time, then I started to study what the caduceus meant back in our ancient Greek and Egyptian mythic times, as well as the understanding from the Indian Ayurvedic awareness of this. And, of course, you know, as many of your listeners will know, it represents the growth of our consciousness. And, in fact, the chakras can be mapped out over the caduceus. Through these associations and the fact that, in fact, the DNA looked very similar, I began to investigate, along with many others, I must say, in the 90s, whether there could be a sort of an association. And at the same time, probably the last 20 years, we've added this other science to medicine. Instead of not just biochemistry and anatomy and physiology, we've got biophysics. We're understanding the physics of the body. And the physics of the body is something you can't measure in the same way as you can a chemical, but is much closer to, the Chinese would say, of course, it's our roots. The Chinese would say that we're formed on energy. We're formed from space to light to matter. And I explain this in the book, okay? And that's where the science is going. The science is saying, actually, we are. Actually, primarily, you know, we're energetic beings. And all our matter is formed upon it, upon this. And then, in fact, our DNA is involved in, and this is a hugely difficult concept for people to sort of visualize. It's very much a something. But so I'll just say it anyway, that the DNA, like, shoots, this is the latest thoughts, like a laser light of information out of its central core. And, of course, we've got trillions of DNAs in our body. And so within our body, there's a massive laser light show and that started by the DNA, propagated, in other words, sort of continued by our connective tissue. Where all these wonderful laser lights meet, like in a laser light show, that's where our tissue is formed upon. Okay. Now, these are mind-boggling concepts, I appreciate. But this is where the cutting edge is, that ultimately, if you go deep down into our very roots of our being, we are these energetic beings. We are these light beings. And if we said this 10 years ago, you really would be saying, oh, you know, this is very airy-fairy and this is absolute nonsense. This is actually where the science is going around the world. And what it does do is open the body, us up, everybody into a whole new realm of therapies and understanding of the body that is not invasive to the body that people can take control of. We know that words and light and all other energetic treatments, if you like, or just being around those the correct balance of those things can help balance the body as well. So I'm not sure if that really answers your question, Donna. I hope it does.
Well, I think it does to a point, because the information in your book, The Human Antennae, is just, you've got so much wonderful details. I like what you say, because I really believe this, that all living cells have a degree of consciousness. Every
yes.
cell in our body is a universe unto itself. And
yes.
I liked your statement also, in that as a doctor, you get very concerned about a purely mechanical, allopathic approach to health. You say symptom
yes.
control, drugs, and surgery are all rightly prominent in modern medical care, but it has been their overall dominance that has proved unhealthy. Prescribing
yes.
a drug that exhibits control over every one of our 50 trillion cells should only be done after deep consideration of what the underlying symptoms mean. In chronic
yes.
cases where symptoms are persisting, there should literally be much soul-searching first. And this
yes.
is something I think that with many of my listeners, they're going to say, oh, amen to that. When I go in to see a doctor here in the United States, you figure you might have 10 minutes. But so
yeah.
frequently, because of the economic costs and, like you said, overhead
yes.
and other things, they don't know how to listen. And often records get mixed up. There's miscommunication. There are assumptions. And that's why it's important for patients to be prepared. You talk about how central the heart is and
yes.
the energy center in the body. You talk about the meridians. You talk about so much that is so real in our world today. How do you think a patient can be more empowering for their own wellness?
Look, first of all, I think it's essential, and I think that we've really got to get back to the point where the person owns their own healing, you know, and we are the educated, if you like, advisors, but we're not the dictators. What one of the problems is that, you know, the body talks to us in what we call symptoms. Therefore, the headache and the ache here and all those is the way our body talks to us. And I tell you, it tells us the truth.
Mm-hmm.
It tells us the truth. Now, my big concern is that if we don't listen very intensely to this, or another, all I do, my biggest job really is to listen intently to what that body is saying and to relay that, what those messages are, back to the person. Okay. One can do it through our ears of listening. And in Chinese medicine, it's wonderful because you can take the pulse, you can actually feel the changes, and then you relay them back to the person. It's so important that we, you know, the person, the healer, the physician, the therapist, doesn't own the issue. But what we do is listen. The most important part of the whole process is the listening. And that always used to be the case in medicine, the history that you do. Now, the history isn't just the person recounting the details that they have so that you write them down. In the recounting of the story, you, with skill, you can put so many different things together. You can make sense, the person can make sense of a sequence of so many things. And in that, that computes back into the body, that knowledge, that awareness. And the body, you know, we can say the body and the soul are the same. And the body and the soul says, aha, yeah, they get it, okay? I don't have to yell so loud. I don't have to, my head, you know, the head doesn't have to hurt so much or whatever. So that is the process that is so important, so important. And in fact, something like acupuncture is an extension of the listening. You know, if you listen and then with your acupuncture, you reply to them with a pattern of needles, or even touch or light or whatever, something that's gentler even than needles, the body will say, okay, you know, I'm being listened to now. And as long as sort of the person who it's affecting is learning and changes, and then we won't have to sort of keep the messages going. terribly important, of course, because they're also messages of what we have to do to change. Now, my concern is that if we miss out that listening process and just give a drug, we're actually telling that body to be quiet. And by telling the body to be quiet, it doesn't like that. It say, okay, you won't hear me now, I'll give you something else to listen to. So, you know, your symptoms may move to another part of the body, governed by another set of specialists.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe if we listen, if it all closes up, you may go and have an accident. You know, as they say, the world around you sort of comes to the party and gives you a nudge. So my feeling strongly is that this listening process should happen very early on in the condition, not later on.
There is a wonderful story that you have in your book about Mary, a woman by the name of Mary, and her husband Bill, and how she was carrying within herself a grief regarding her son, who had been killed 23 years before. Now, she has developed polymyalgia rheumatica, which is a connective tissue disease that presents itself as a widespread inflammation. And she had been told she needed to be on steroids, and her bones were going to become brittle. By the time she found out what the side effects were going to be from the treatment, this poor woman was traumatized.
This case, and people with these stories present to me every day, and the link between the trauma that she had many years ago, and I tell you, I can see people in their 70s, and the trauma happened when they were 8 or 9, and their bodies are still holding that trauma,
mm-hmm.
And nobody along the way has linked it, and the only way you really link it is by asking and waiting and listening to the person. Now, it is so important that those links are made. We all know with grief, we do not, if we love somebody deeply, ultimately time and space never matter. In other words, when they die, you don't stop loving them.
Right.
That is why we grieve. So, you know, people who say, okay, that was a long time ago, and you should be over it by now, you never get over missing a loved one. And in fact, your love is as deep, whether they're here or not. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So often people dismiss it. Don't they look for something too recent in many ways? So her story was terribly, terribly important, because we're also seeing now almost an epidemic of what we call connective tissue disorders. And it's not too sort of far a truth to say that in fact the way to help those is, of course, to connect them to the people, to their past. But also what happened with Mary was that she was able to become connected again with a life which had meaning for her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so her healing actually improved when she started to feel better through therapy and various other things, but it really took off when she became sort of involved with some charity work and some help, something that she really, really wanted to do. And she felt that she was involved in something she was here to do, okay, something that her own special skills and her compassion could be fulfilled, and the world would be a better place, which of course it became.
I think that your book, Dr. Kelly, just gives so much more than what we're going to possibly be able to discuss on the air today. The Human Antenna, Reading the Language of the Universe in the Songs of Ourselves. This is a doctor who made a different journey. And he shares with as many of his colleagues what he can, and his colleagues, if they're receptive, they envy him, because they say, you are enjoying what you're doing. But it was a journey also of self-awareness for him. Now, Dr. Kelly, what is your website that people can cruise through to find out more about your wonderful book, about information on you, and the various things that you want people to know about?
Okay, well, there are two. The www.humanantenna, just humanantenna, .com. We'll get you through to the information on the book. It's also part of my broader website, which is www.robinkelly.co.nz. .nz, because I live in New Zealand.
New Zealand.
So those are the two. The fact they're both linked there. So, but Human Antenna, if you just remember that one, you'll get through. And my name, you can Google my name, you should get through too.
Well, Dr. Kelly, I think that you've given a gift by writing this book, and I hope that you'll be able to share this message with a lot of people, because there is so much wisdom in your book with a touch of real-life stories that I think a lot of people can relate to. And also, it gives them an understanding of alternative methods that can be utilized, and it gives them a level of understanding as to what terminology they can use if they're wanting to explore some of these options, which I think is very important. Dr. Robin Kelly, he is in New Zealand, but you can find out more about him, his perceptions, his experiences. Get his book, The Human Antennae. Also, thehumanantenna.com is his website, or you can go to robinkelly.co.nz for New Zealand, and you'll be able to reach him that way as well. Dr. Kelly, thank you so much for being my guest today.
It's been a real privilege and a pleasure. And, look, thank you so much for your awareness about the book. You've really read it, and I'm so touched that you've done that.
Thank you, sir. Stay with me on the line. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a moment.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Hello, this is Dr. Richard Petty, the author of Healing, Meaning, and Purpose, and creator of the RichardGPettyND.com website. I am thrilled and delighted to tell you that starting February 7th, 2008, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining my friend Donna Sebo on her show on bbsradio.com. We're going to do this every month, and I can guarantee you that we're going to be sharing new information and new concepts that will astonish and inspire you.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. I really, really appreciate professionals who are willing to expand their world, their knowledge, and their experience. And I strongly encourage you to consider adding the Human Antenna to your library, because I think that it's something that makes you aware even of the doctor's world, that many times we just see the white coats and we don't realize that they're human beings too. So his perceptions, his perspectives, his insights that he has grown through are just, they make for wonderful reading, and his wisdom that he puts in the book, because as a healer, he is working in multiple worlds, and his passion is to empower people to be well. So it's a book I really think that belongs in just about everyone's library. Now, I want to say telephone lines are open if you would like to call in and chat with me. The telephone number to call in to is 877 877-867-5227. That's 877-867-5227. Canadians, it's 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, we have a direct line of 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. Now, when you call in, if you're a first-time listener, by the way, welcome to the show. If you call in, just remember what I want from you is your first name or your initial, and then after that, I love to know where you're calling from. Then let me do my thing, and we'll just be able to talk after that about a question that you might want to ask me, and that's all it takes. Again, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Or 530-876-3222. I've been receiving emails, and I got one from Robin. And she said, Donna, this is so important for the women in your audience. And so I wanted to share this with you. It's a story about Kathy West, and I think that this is really very, very significant because so often with we women, and it can happen with men too, but there's a lot of things we're not aware of, and we need to understand that when we're given information, it doesn't mean it's to make us afraid. It's to educate us so that we become aware of our own bodies and respect our bodies so that we create that environment for wellness that we can enjoy in our life. Now, this is, Robin said, this is an eye-opener on ovarian cancer. She said, I hope you'll take the time to read this and pass it on to all you can. Years ago, Gilda Radner died of ovarian cancer. Her symptoms were inconclusive, and she was treated for everything under the sun until it was too late. This blood test finally identified her illness, but alas, too late. She wrote a book to heighten awareness. Jean Wilder is her husband. Now, I hear a sound. Is there someone on the line?
Yeah.
Hi, hon. Okay, I can barely hear you. I'm going to tell Kathy's story then. Let me talk to you first. Who am I speaking with?
Okay.
Excuse me, hello?
Hi.
Hi, hon. What's your first name or your initial?
Tina.
And where are you calling from, Tina?
From Phoenix, Arizona.
From Phoenix. Well, welcome. I'm glad to have you on the show. Now, Tina, the first thing that's coming into my mind, you're breaking down some real big barriers. I am looking at a wooden door as a symbol in my mind, and I'm just seeing you taking an axe to it. And this is a humongous axe. And you're just creating it into toothpicks. I mean, you're just saying, no more. I've had it. So there has been something that you have felt that has been blocking you. And it is, I'd call it a subconscious type of an experience that you have been carrying for a lot of years, and finally it has come out in the open, and you're just whacking it away. You are just not going to tolerate this subconscious sabotage anymore. And I really like your attitude about this because you're very decisive, you're very clear, and there's no games, there's no gimmicks. Now, what I'm also looking at is you going through, and I don't know that it's really a vision quest, but it reminds me of a vision quest, and you are staying very quiet for a while so that you can really be aware, really pay attention, really listen to what you need to do for yourself. And I think this is so wise of you. You're really taking the time to get done what needs to get done. So be patient with yourself. Follow through what you know you need to do. You won't have any regrets other than you wish you would have been this decisive earlier. But you can't get stuck there. You need to remember it's now that counts because what you do with today is what makes your future tomorrow. What questions would you like to ask me today?
And we're working together on accomplishing a goal. We both have the same goal in mind. And I'm hoping that this is going to be more of a partnership between us. It seems to be a little uneven right now, where this person is sounding a little put upon and that kind of thing. Are you picking up that this is going to stabilize and we do end up reaching our goal, or me having...
Well, I think what you've got is a need to really whack out assumptions. I think you need to have a conversation with this person, because the truth is, it's never going to be equal totally. It isn't going to happen that way. And whatever the goal is, let's say the two of you were trying to lose 20 pounds. This is a ridiculous example, but I'll just use this as an example. So you go ahead and you make a choice and you make a decision. This is what we want to do. And so you start on a particular food program. And maybe you're supposed to go walking for 30 minutes every day, and all of a sudden you find she's not able to do it, and it really upsets you because you're very, very consistent. But what I think you might need to do is say, come on, let's talk about this, because you seem to be getting agitated. Let's see what else might work. If you can't feel comfortable with 30 minutes of walking every day, what else do you think you'd like to do? Well, maybe her schedule is such that maybe she just can run up and down the stairs at work and, you know, move so many steps. Or maybe there has to be some kind of a change in timing or arrangement. Maybe she's feeling uncomfortable. You need to get things out in the open, and you need to not have the assumptions. Because if you just assume that this is her attitude or her feeling, you're going to have some misunderstandings. There's going to be poor communication between both of you. Whatever this project is involving, there are specific steps that have to be done. And you both need to have a common ground here. And what you need to do is have that open communication and say, what is it that we can do so we're both comfortable? How can we work this out? And try to do some problem solving. But don't let it simmer into a roiling boil of discontentment, because that's not going to serve your purpose at all.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome, hon. I've got to go. We're going to take a break. But thank you so much for your call, Tina.
Thank you. Bye.
Have a good day. This is Donna Siebel. We're going to take a break for a moment. When we come back, I'm going to finish Kathy West's story, and then I've got some other information to share with you, so don't go away. This is Donna Siebel. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. Canadians 888-815-9756. We'll be right back, right after these messages.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous.
Donna Siebel publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. I know we've got a caller on the line waiting, but before I go to that caller, there's a couple of things I want to let you know about. One, if you're listening from Alaska, I'm going to be up in Anchorage, Alaska, available for private counseling from Wednesday of next week, which is the 12th through the 16th. 16th. It's going to be a rather short trip because of other responsibilities and commitments. Timing has just made it this way. This is the time that I have available. So I'll be up in Anchorage. If you want more information, you can call my office at 800-872-8852. Also, at the end of this month, I'm going to be appearing at the Pacific Northwest Women's Show. Wow, what an exciting event. Over 40,000 women attend this. I've been involved with Margo and her staff for a few years now, and it is just a joy to be a part of this show. So I'm going to be in booth number 406. I'll be speaking each day, but it is going to be at the Quest Field, and the hours are 10 to 6 every day, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, March 28th, 29th, and 30th. So I do hope you'll put it on your calendar. If you're in the state of Washington, it is worth traveling in for. It's worth it from anywhere, because this is a place where all kinds of activities are going on. And Teresa Tapp, who we're going to be having on again this month regarding exercise and fitness, she's going to be there as well. She's going to be demonstrating what we've been talking about on the show. So it's great. Go to northwestwomenshow.com. You'll find all the information about parking, prices, the people that are going to be there. I mean, it is a plethora of information. Do come by. Say hello when you come, because I would love to have a chance to meet you. It is an awesome, awesome show. Also, I'm going to be doing in Tacoma, Washington, at the Center for Spiritual Living, I am going to be doing a class on April the 19th. And it's about mental ecology, personally empowering you so you can be about the business of life with joy, zest, and enthusiasm. So if you want information about that, check out my newsletter, which has gone out, should be up and posted within 24 hours. And I apologize for it being late, but that's the way it goes sometimes when computers get shingles. Maybe that's what I should say. They got a severe case of shingles. Anyway, Donna Sebo here. Check out my website. Check out my newsletter. You'll have all of the up-to-date information on the upcoming appearances. Well, let's go to my next caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Yes. Hello?
Hello, dear. Where are you calling from? What's your first name or initial?
My name is Ellen, and I'm calling from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, Ellen. L.A. just was down there. Beautiful, beautiful weather.
Yes, the first thing
I'm looking at with you is discipline is going to be very important. You've got some specific objectives that are significant to you. You feel as if you've sort of been sliding around with them. You've not been able to achieve what you really wanted to achieve. And I look at this, and I want to say be patient, because you're not going to be able to get through this mountain of experience without stumbling once in a while. If you take advantage of your stumbles, then you're going to discover that you're going to do very, very well in the overall result. But the stumbles are going to be a part of the experience, and I don't want you to be discouraged. Also, I want you to realize that the management of your money is going to, again, the big D word, discipline. It's going to take a real commitment to holding true to what you want accomplished. And it's something that you just take little tiny baby steps and recognize that eventually your stride is going to enable you to go from baby steps to full, wide open, expansive stride. You've got a two-month window here that I think is going to create some challenges, but you're going to be able to get through them. It's not going to be as tough as you think. Be sure to let your friends know that you appreciate their support. It's not begging. It's not being of a negative attitude. But if you need help, be sure you ask for it, because there's plenty of people around you that will be supportive in the right way, not in a pity party way, but in the right way. And that's going to enable you to feel like you're going to really be able to break through this little bit of something that keeps holding you back. It's sort of like saran wrap. It's how I feel. It's like I can see what I want, but I can't quite puncture the saran wrap to get to it. So just hang tough, because you're going to be able to do it. But it's going to be a little bit more time. Do you have a quick question for me?
So where should I start with, like, my work then to find a job?
All right. Now, if you're looking for work, what I would say is build on what you've already got experience in, and then look at where you would really like to take the knowledge that you have and put it to work. For example, if you were interested in real estate, then what I would say to you is go to realtors in your area and ask them if they could use an office support person. And put yourself in an environment that's going to be that what you really want to grow into. If it was becoming a financial advisor, if it was becoming aware of medicine, if it was physical therapy, if it was landscaping, it wouldn't make any difference. Think about where you want to grow into and then put yourself into that environment. And I'm seeing a number of doors opening for you. But it is going to take persistence.
Okay. Thank you very much. You're the best.
Thank you so much, Ellen. Thank you for your call. This is Donna Siebel. My goodness, time just go by when we're having fun. And I do want to remind you that we have got a fabulous guest, George Frazier, who's going to be my guest tomorrow. We're going to be talking about networking with people. Now, networking is a turnoff word for a lot of individuals, but his book is titled Click. And this is going to be information that you will find interesting, but more than that, it's going to enable you as an individual to make a difference. Now, I know I've got a couple of minutes before we're going to close out, so I want to finish Kathy's story, because as I started before we started getting callers, talking about ovarian cancer. Now, Kathy West, this is her story, and this is how she tells it. She said, I have primary peritoneal cancer. This cancer has only recently been identified as its own type of cancer, but it is essentially ovarian cancer. Now, both types of cancer are diagnosed in the same way with the tumor marker CA125 blood test, and they're treated in the same way. Surgery to remove the primary tumor and then chemotherapy with Taxol and carboplatin. Now, she said, having already gone through this ordeal, I want to save others from the same fate. That is why I'm sending this message to you, and I hope you will share it with others. One thing I've learned is that each of us must take total responsibility for our own health care. I thought I had done that because I'd always had an annual physical and a pap smear, did a monthly self-breast exam, went to the dentist twice a year. I even insisted on special tests, bone density, etc., when I had a whole total hysterectomy in 1993. I thought that I didn't have to worry about getting any of the female reproductive organ cancers. Oh, my goodness, I'm out of time. Listen, I'm going to finish this tomorrow. I know I'm not able to do it today because we're out of time. But being responsible for your own wellness is so important. Kathy's story is important, and I will finish it with you tomorrow. This is Donna Siebel. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. It is a good day to be alive. Enjoy it to the fullest. Count your blessings. You got a lot of them. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.